You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us as we look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. We've got racing at Goodwood, Yarmouth and the Curragh to preview, but elsewhere we've also got a card at Beverley and a National Hunt fixture over at Cork. So five meetings in total on Sunday, bringing you the best of the action is Darren Owen, John Budden and Mick Norton from 1:40pm on William Hill's Racing Radio. So do tune in for all of that. But first things first, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on the podcast today, it's a very warm welcome to Kevin O'Malley.
Hello, Hi, Kev. Sam. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, really well. The weather in Leeds is good.
Yes, it's tentatively been all right for a bit.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been really warm in London, so it's nice to have a little bit more fresher air up here. But yeah, we've been gifted with some nice weather the last few days.
We certainly have, yeah, which has been very helpful to the fast ground horses that we've had running as well. Enjoyed the action over the last few days, Kev?
Yeah, I've been really enjoying it. It's been a few weeks since I've been in. Really enjoyed York. I put up Mecca's Angel as my bet at the meeting, and the rain duly came for her, didn't it?
Yes.
We had a few heavy showers up there, and it softened sufficiently for her. She's some mare.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's seriously quick.
It was interesting connections after the race as well, sort of saying we kind of associate her with soft ground. It's not that she wants it soft. She just doesn't want it rattling quick.
Yeah.
Good ground is optimum for her, but myself included, we all sort of think, even when the rain did come, I thought, well, she'll want more, she'll want soft ground, but doesn't actually need it soft. Just needs a sound surface.
Yeah, and any cut in the ground at all will inconvenience others more than her.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, given how good she is anyway, that just makes the difference. You know, she gets a little £3 pull from him as well.
So yeah.
It all helps.
Correct. Yeah, it was a very nice performance from Mecca's Angel, landing her second at Nunthorpe in as many years. Let's talk some of the news now, Kev. First of all, it's been all over the papers for the last few days. The Flat Jockeys Championship has come to the fore again. For a long time, it looked as though it might be a formality and Sylvester D'Souza would be walking away with the title again. But Jim Crowley has closed the gap to just one now, Kevin. I have to say, I checked his market this morning and we were 8-13 about SDS, 6-4 Jim Crowley, no more. Now 4-5 Sylvester D'Souza and even money for Jim Crowley. So a real change in the market there, and it's almost a pick'em with just one winner in it.
Yeah, there's been a real momentum change, hasn't there, in recent days. And, you know, he's got a really good agent behind him and he's just firing in winners from all angles. He rode another treble yesterday. He had a Satchville Flyer and a Looting and Our Boy and on Friday. And he's just, you know, I think the momentum is really with him now. He's riding winners for a variety of different trainers and he's made no secret of the fact that he's going for it.
Yes.
You know, when the market's open for this earlier on the season, you know, it's understandable you have the likes of James Doyle, Will Buick and others that would be way higher up in the betting, considering they've got big jobs at Godolphin. But he would have been an unconsidered 33-1 shot, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
A really big price. But he's just one of those hard-working jockeys, a lot like Sylvester D'Souza. You know, and he's going for it now, and he's in an ideal position to get it. And I think he will get it done. He's got some great rides today too, and he's going to be difficult to stop, isn't he?
Yeah, certainly is. As you say there, he's a jockey to focus on in terms of having a bet on the Flat Championship, because without the retainer, obviously, gives him the freedom to ride horses for all sorts. And I suppose it doesn't seem to matter that much to the likes of Ryan Moore and Frankie Dettori and these top guys. They're not really that bothered about it.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, when you're riding the very best horses in the world like those guys are, your hunger shifts somewhat from being the top jockey to riding the best horses to winning the best races, doesn't it? So your hunger shifts. So Ryan Moore wants to win the best Group 1s, where, you know, winning being a champion jockey is probably Jim Crowley's world. That'd be amazing for him, because he doesn't get the big rides that those guys do. So that's why he's got the fire in his belly for it now. And if you see some of the trainers that he's ridden winners for, loads of them, you know, David Evans, David Brown, Hugo Palmer, Sir Michael Stout in recent days. So he's getting support from all angles. So he's going to be very difficult to stop him now.
Yeah, absolutely. SDS then 4-5 in the Jockeys Championship Market with us here at William Hill. Even money about Jim Crowley, 25-1 bar that pair. Looks very much between the two. We'll stay with Jockeys now and bring you news of another announcement to the ITV Racing lineup for next year. Hayley Turner has been confirmed as joining Ed Chamberlain and Francesca Cumani early on this morning. Now, this is probably an appointment, Kev, that's split opinions, shall we say. She's not been wholly well received for her work on ATR as of yet, Hayley Turner.
No, I mean, you have to respect what she's done in the game.
Yes.
For women, for everyone, she's done tremendous stuff. And the work ethic that she's put into her riding, I think she needs to start putting it into her punditry. You know, some of the stuff she's done on ATR has been okay, but generally speaking, I think she's just kind of fiddling along in terms of her form reading and her delivery of analysis, and she needs to improve on that. I'm sure she will. She's a clever girl.
Yes.
But she needs to. You know, she's going to be in the limelight now, and she needs to kick on. She needs to, you know, get the form book out, start watching replays, and start really studying this game, because, you know, the other example is AP McKay, who works for William Hill.
Yes.
You know, when he started off on Channel 4, he was okay, but you could see he was struggling a little bit. Mm. But now you can see the effort that he's putting in the way that he's delivering his analysis of horses. And that's what Hayley needs to do as well. I'm sure she'll be told that, and I'm sure that she will do work accordingly. She's an exciting addition to the team, so it'll be interesting to see how she gets on.
Okay. Anyone else you'd be keen to add to the lineup when ITV takes over the contract in the new year?
There's a couple. I mean, I'd like to see my mate Sam Turner get on.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think Sam's great. Mm. He's great on RUK. He's great on radio here with us. He does great work on GD. He knows the game inside out. And he's just got a really nice, warm demeanour about him. And I'd like to think that they'd give somebody like Sam a chance. So I'll put Sam down as a dark horse to get in there.
OK. Very good. We'll see what pans out there then when ITV do take over the contract from Channel 4 in the new year. Anything else on your mind then, Kev, just before we move on to take a look at Sunday's racing?
Well, I turn 30 next month.
Oh, congratulations.
So it's my birthday next month, and I'm hoping, and I think, that my old girl, Dancing Star, who's done me such a big good favour in the Stewards' Cup, I'm hoping that she's going to win the Haydock Sprint Cup for me.
Okay.
She's 8-1 with William Hill, and I think she's got a fantastic chance of winning.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that she can give me an early birthday gift by winning at Haydock in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, good stuff. There's an anti-post thought then from Kev ahead of the big race at Haydock. We'll look ahead to Sunday's action now. A couple from Goodwood, one from Yarmouth, and the Irish Cambridgeshire to come from the Curragh. We begin with a couple of races from Goodwood, starting with their 3:10. This is a handicap over a mile and a furlong. Just 5 runners have assembled for this Class 2 contest, but plenty bringing winning form into the race. And it's quite an interesting mix of runners, albeit we've only got a quintet.
Yeah, it is. Fadawi, who's likely to go off favourite, he's progressing nicely, and he appreciated a change of tactics when scoring by 5 lengths at Doncaster last time out. He's gone up £12 for that, which is a fair hike in the weights, but he's respected. I do have a marginal preference for your hired here, Amanda Peretz, from down the bottom of the weights. Comes here on a hat-trick, won last time out in gritty fashion, beat a really solid horse in Ode to Evening, and he's gone up £6 for that. But which is, I think that's fair, and I think he's going to go very well again around here under Martin Dwyer.
Okay, your hide then, one of two Amanda Perrett runners in the race, and it's the bottom one that has caught the eye of Kev, former course and distance winner, as well in the 3:10 at Goodwood. We stay at Goodwood now for their 4:20, the big race of the day on their card on Sunday. This is the Group 3 Doombar Supreme Stakes. 7 furlongs is the trip ahead of these 9 runners. I always find it to be quite a specialist trip, 7 furlongs, Kev. Have you identified any 7 furlong potential specialists in this?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of them in there. The general consensus is that Convey is a miler, but I think he might just be better at a strongly contested 7 furlongs. He's just a little bit too inconsistent for me. I do like him as a horse, and I do think he's got the potential to be a real group horse as he progresses, but at the moment he's just a little bit too in and out for me. I think this could go down to a matchup between Gelotta and So Beloved, who finished second and third behind Namoralia, that really good filly of Jeremy Nasida's last time out. And I'm just going to side with So Beloved. He's a really grand-looking son of Dan Silly. He's got stacks of experience at the top level. And even at the age of 6, he's only now producing some of his best form. Two starts back, he was a little bit out of his depth in the Sussex Stakes, but he followed that up with an excellent run last time out in the City of York. He's won 2 of his 4 starts around here, so he's a little bit of a course specialist, and I think he's the one to take all the beating. I think Gelotta can follow him home.
So the Livid then to beat Gelata in the Supreme Stakes at Goodwood coming up at 4:20. We'll go back in time ever so slightly then to the 3:55 at Yarmouth now. A competitive looking handicap for us here. A mile and a quarter is the trip for these eight runners. It's a Class 2 contest and a decent prize money on offer, Kev, has attracted a reasonably good field.
Yeah, it has. The one I like here is down the bottom. I've been following him all season. Is a Barocco, Andrew Balding's three-year-old. He was really frustrating me at the beginning of the season because I didn't think they were riding him properly. But now I could see the madness in the wisdom in their madness of holding him up so deliberately, because he does struggle to settle a little bit. And even last time out, on his second win around here, actually, he's still struggling to settle. But he's starting to find for pressure and he's starting to save a little bit more for himself in the closing stages, which I think is going to be important, certainly now that he steps up in grade. He's upping into Class 2 company here, but I think he's going to acquit himself well. He's got that bit of course experience around here, which can be helpful. And I think if he settles well, he comes in down at the end of the weights off 8'5" in a mark of 85, which I think is pretty workable. I think he could take all the beating. You have to respect the likes of Rock Spirit and Folkswood coming into the race in good form. I think the fly in the ointment could be Felix Mendelssohn, David Simcox, top weight. A mark of 96 is stiff enough, but he's a really nice, big, scopy son of Galileo. And I don't think we're yet to see the best of him. He hasn't shown a lot on two starts this season, but he will drop in and win one of these races. So he's the dark horse for me at the top.
Okay, Barocco then the choice for Andrew Balding chasing a hat-trick, but do keep an eye on Felix Mendelssohn as well in that 3:55 race at Yarmouth. We'll move on to the big race of the day now on Sunday. From across the Irish Sea, we head to the Curragh for the 5 o'clock, which is the Irish Cambridgeshire, a premier handicap over a mile, just shy of €60,000 available to the winner. A field of 24 set to take their chance in this one. A bit of a puzzle to say the least, Kev.
Yeah, I mean, I always enjoy this race. It's, as a spectacle, it's very good. I mean, I think it's a bit of a brave move on my part to side with an English-trained top weight in the Irish Cambridgeshire.
Right.
Because, as you'd expect, the race has been dominated by Irish-trained winners, usually ones that are carrying around 9'3" or less in recent years. Aidan O'Brien's Poet did win the race off 9'10" back in 2009, and Quinmaster won it off 10'1" from Mick Calford 3 years earlier. So it's not an impossible task, and I really do like Jed O'Keefe's instant attraction. He runs off a mark of 102, and he's carrying 10'12" there at the top under Jack Garrity. This five-year-old deserves to win a big one. He's been running well all season in really, really good company. A mile is certainly his trip, and easing the ground will suit him down to the ground. And yeah, I mean, he won last time out. He finished seventh Royal Hunt Cup last time out, which was another really good effort. He ran a cracker at Epsom. So he's been running all these really good handicaps, and he's due to get a win on the board. And even though he has got a mark of 102, and you know, it's a shark infested waters underneath him, he does like to keep it simple from the front, and I could see him running a really, really big race here. I mean, in terms of dangers, it's a case of how many do you want. But from those lurking further down the weight, the likes of Mick Halfers, Caelan Moore and Kevin Prendergast's Ared catch the eye.
Okay, instant attraction then, the choice for Kevin. The big one, the Irish Cambridgeshire, but a couple of others to keep on your side as well in that one. Just give us a quick recap, please, then, Kev, your four selections for the races that we've picked out on both sides of the Irish Sea on Sunday.
Will do. In the 3:10 at Goodwood, I'm going to go with You're Hired to score again for Amanda Perrott. Later on in the 4:20, I think So Beloved can run a big race in that Group 3. Over at Yarmouth in the 3:55, I'm hoping that Barocco can complete the hat-trick for Andrew Balding. And in the 5 o'clock, the Irish Cambridgeshire, it's instant attraction. I'm hoping it can make all for Jed O'Keefe.
Excellent stuff. There are thoughts of Kevin O'Malley ahead of Sunday's racing. And do be sure to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. on Sunday with Darren Owen, John Budden and Mick Norton in the studio for the action at Goodwood, Beverley, Yarmouth, Cork and the Curragh. Set to be a fantastic day of racing on Sunday. Thank you very much for that, Kev.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.